today as we come to the table.
After circumcision, it's days of intense pain and healing, and you're not exactly ready for battle. God just brought them from a safe place on the other side of the Jordan into the land of their enemies and now made all their warriors very vulnerable. Why would God do that? Trust me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And if I put you in a place where you've got to do battle, it's not going to be by your strength and by your great warrior might. You obey me, you cut away the flesh, you walk in the spirit, I will defeat your enemies. To me, this is amazing.
I'm guessing us guys are pretty thankful we don't have to go through circumcision as adults like these Israelites. Talk about feeling pain and weakness. Why would God make the Israelites so vulnerable right before a battle? God seems to find so many ways to reinforce the fact that He's the one fighting the battle. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will remind you that God is the one fighting your battles. You may think you should be finding a way to train yourself to be stronger, more talented, and knowledgeable, but God wants you to be weak and vulnerable so you will trust in Him, depend on God and His strength to save. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves," or set yourselves apart for the Lord, "for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." What a great promise that is. Tomorrow you're going to see wonders. I love it. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel." This is what a great thing for Joshua to hear. "I'm going to back you." You know, they said, "Joshua will follow you, only do as Moses did." He says, "You know what? You follow me. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up, and they're going to know that my hand's with you, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come and hear the words of the Lord your God." Now, this is interesting to me. Look what God is causing them to do now. God is causing the nation to grow, even as you would see a believer growing in their faith. But He's doing it on a national level in type here. What do I mean by that? Remember when they came to the Red Sea, God just said, "Stand here. Stand and see what I'm going to do. Don't go in. Just stand here. I'll split it. You'll cross over on dry ground." Now God says to the priests, "First of all, you've got to get your feet wet. You've got to get your feet in the water. Once you step out in faith and get your feet a little bit wet, even when you don't see that I've yet stopped the waters of the Jordan, even when you don't see yet that I've divided the waters, I want you to step out in faith and trust me." And this is where, as a believer, you know, as a young believer, we wait on God for everything and we're a little bit scared and we don't take big steps of faith and God has to really just do everything. But as you grow in the Lord, God's going to say, "Now look, here's what I told you to do. Take a step of faith." And that's a part of that natural growth process. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And so, you know, all of us can think back through our life growing in the Lord. There's things that God has just done for you, and there's things you've had to step out to watch God do. Maybe you're a little bit scared, but you stepped out to do it. You know, again, it's that whole thing of just trust the Lord and go for it. They're going to have to get their feet wet. And we talk about that. You know, it's just, you got to get your feet a little bit wet before you're going to see what's going to happen. Here, literally, they have to get their feet in the water before God's going to divide the waters for them. So the priests had to trust. Joshua had to trust. Can you imagine as they stepped toward the water and wondering, well, is it really going to work? You know, and of course, Joshua had seen God work. He knew that it would, but these are steps of faith. And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, again reminding him of God's greatness, is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. So get a leader from each tribe. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream shall stand up as a heap. Get your feet wet. Step in first. Once I see you're trusting me and taking a step of faith, then I'll make the way clear. Again, a great principle for us. This is how God works in our life as well. But what's neat about this is, again, God is doing the same type of thing he did for Moses. He divided the Red Sea. In this case, he's simply stopping up the Jordan because it flowed, you know, one direction down to the Dead Sea. And God's going to make a heap out of it. He's going to dry the land out the same way that he did. And these 2 to 3 million people are going to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Jericho's going to see that. The children of Israel are going to see that. Word's going to spread about it. Everybody's going to be afraid of them in the land, and God is paving the way for what he's going to do by the miracles and the power that he's showing them. So this is what an amazing thing to be a part of this would have been. So it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its bank during the whole time of the harvest, that's the rainy season, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan, and the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, that is the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now, this is amazing. For a number of reasons. Number one, this Zaratan, that region, it's about 16 miles upstream. And why in the world would God stop it up 16 miles? Remember, they had almost 2 to 3 million people had to cross. So you would need a large swath of land for everybody to be able to cross and go in. But what makes this even neater is that in the Jordan Valley, you can see up the Jordan Valley. The mountains are on either side, but you can see up the Jordan Valley, which means probably they could see the water stopped up, even though it was 16 miles away, and they could see the wall of water as they saw it stop up. You say, Mark, could they really see 16 miles? Listen, when I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I could on a regular basis see a mountain that was 256 miles away from Santa Fe. So when there's nothing blocking your view, you can see a long way. And so I personally know that I saw a mountain over 250 miles away on a regular basis. Seeing 16 miles up a valley where no mountains are blocking would have been an easy thing to do. So imagine them standing there, 16 miles up the stream, all of a sudden they see this wall of water rise up. What must that have been like? At the same time that the wall of water rose up, God dries the banks immediately. And they can cross over. Now, by the way, if you've been there to Israel, or you've seen pictures, you go and see the Jordan today, and it doesn't seem that impressive. You're like, oh, okay, there's the Jordan. I thought it'd be much larger. It was during this day. The Jordan you see today is only a fraction of the size and the width of the Jordan in that day, according to historians. As a matter of fact, they say at one point the Jordan was a half a mile across. So why is the Jordan so much smaller now? Because now what's happening is because of all the agriculture and the competing nations and peoples in that region, the competition for the Jordan, really up and down there in Israel, so to speak, they draw so much water out of it. And they draw water out of the Sea of Galilee. They draw water out of the Jordan for all their plants and their crops and all their fields, that it sucks the water down to where it's a much smaller river. But if everybody let that go again like it was in Joshua's day, you would have a very strong flowing river once again rushing down through there. Then take the rainy season. And it really overflows its banks. So this was, again, a lot larger picture than what you have in your mind of when you see the Jordan today, of what it would have been in that day. And that would have been this wall of water. Again, he says, notice it says it rose up in a heap very far away. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. I love it how God not only let them cross over, but he made the ground dry until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So 2 to 3 million people by this point, 2 million when they came out, but by this point, some think they'd grown maybe to as many as 3 million, and they all crossed over in this 16-mile swath, if you will, and probably even farther down to the left, so maybe 20 miles or so, and they're crossing over, and the water just being there, who knows how long? Hours, probably, as they all just crossed over, and it's being held up there. Notice what happens. As this is going on, chapter 4, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, that is these leaders, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. From the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. So take these over as a memorial. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you shall take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. They were basically to remind the children of Israel, God has given you this land, and God did an amazing miracle to give it to you. He stopped up the Jordan, and now you see these stones, and all the generations after are going to ask, you know, what are these stones? And you're going to say, this is because God did an amazing miracle, and God brought us over, and God gave us the land, and it's a memorial. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. So they have the 12 they took over, but also now in the bottom of the Jordan here where they crossed, he set 12 stones up there in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Now, when the water comes back, they cover over these. I wonder if they're still there. You wonder. I mean, has somebody maybe like gone through all the parts of the Jordan there over the years and found those stones and taken them out? If not, you could probably literally put on some scuba gear and find these 12 stones. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe have an extra day there at Israel and do a scuba day down at the Jordan and find the 12 stones. The water's kind of muddy today, so it wouldn't seem as appealing, but that would be pretty cool to find those stones, to find stones that Joshua himself placed in the Jordan where he crossed. Really cool. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Kind of neat the symbolism here. You know, you have the visible memorial and you have the hidden memorial. Kind of like when we walk with the Lord, it's very visible that we follow the Lord, but we have that hidden relationship in the heart. That memorial, those promises of God that we hold in our heart that nobody sees but us, but we know it's there. It came to pass when the people had completely crossed over that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. Notice this, I find it interesting that all the priests stood there in place until all the people had crossed over. There's a beautiful picture in that because, again, the priests, it took faith to think that God's not going to release the water and it come rushing back down. And imagine the speed with which that water would come. If you were in that Jordan and that water got released, can you imagine when it got released, the rush that it was? It'd be like a flash flood and worse. It would have swept them away. So you as the pastor, assistant pastors, you're standing there till the whole congregation gets across. So your faith, you've got to trust that God's going to keep that. But again, you would see that he's doing it. I'm certain they had faith. But again, they had to be there, you know, until this whole thing passed by. So there's some faith they're being tested on as well. And then if Reuben and the men of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh cross over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, I'd say. And they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land. Notice the moment their soles came out of it, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks as before. So they get across and you hear this, whoa, can you imagine? Powerful. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, camped in Gilgal. That's where they named the place that they put the stones, on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And again, the last time we were in Israel, I heard rumor that they had found Gilgal. And the question was, had they found the stones? I never heard the answer. Israel's been kind of hush about it. I haven't heard anything else about it, but that would be really cool if they found them. Gilgal is right next to Jericho. So as we go on this next trip and go to Jericho, I'm going to see if we can't stop by Gilgal, and it'd be kind of cool if we can. I don't know if they even allow that or the tours are doing that or how they've nailed that down, but I've heard rumor that Gilgal has been identified, and the question is, are those stones still there? That would be cool if they are. And he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when the children asked their fathers the time to come, saying, what are these stones? You shall let the children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. I love how it emphasizes dry. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. We can do this. We'll go through five quick. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites and all who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we crossed over, that their heart melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Imagine the fear in their hearts. They see the same God that delivered them from Egypt now doing the same thing where they are. We're doomed, they'd be saying. We're doomed. And they were. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Now, this is not a second circumcision for those who had already been circumcised. He's speaking about the nation itself because, again, remember, when they came out of Israel, they were circumcised. Moses had everyone be circumcised, that whole picture of cutting away the flesh and that commitment to God. But because they were rebellious in the wilderness, they hadn't circumcised their children. And so now the children, God says, you know what? It's time to reestablish the covenant. It's time to, again, give that picture of cutting away the flesh and that total commitment in the spirit to me. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way, and they'd come out of Egypt, for all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. So see their disobedience, not to walk in the Spirit. And it was even played out in the actual physical representation of the lack of circumcision. It says, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. And then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed. Now, guys, look at this. Here's another step of faith that God is forcing the nation to. Why? My understanding is, as an adult, after circumcision, it's days of intense pain and healing, and you're not exactly ready for battle. God just brought them from a safe place on the other side of the Jordan into the land of their enemies and now made all their warriors very vulnerable. Why would God do that? Trust me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And if I put you in a place where you've got to do battle, it's not going to be by your strength and by your great warrior might. You obey me, you cut away the flesh, you walk in the spirit, I will defeat your enemies. To me, this is amazing. And again, this would have been something that would have been a great step of faith for the men. You imagine Joshua saying, guys, we crossed over, now we're in the enemy's land. Guess what? God spoke to me. What'd he say? All you guys had to be circumcised. What? Could you maybe get a second opinion? You know, is there anybody else up there we could talk to? You know, type thing, right? And yet he says, no, this God said this. And they trusted. They had seen the miracle that God had done through Joshua, so they trusted that God was leading, and they did it. But this would have been them saying, you know what? I'm going to make myself vulnerable in my own strength in the face of the enemy in obedience to God. Great lesson in that for us. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. I love that whole picture of rolling away reproach. It reminds me of the stone rolling away from the tomb and the victory in Christ. I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. That is, I've cut the flesh away, the symbolism of the flesh being gone, walking in the spirit, the earth, the world being behind you. It's time to walk in the spirit. Therefore, the name of the place was called Gilgal to this day. And again, Gilgal means rolling, moving out of the way, God doing something new and fresh. And the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. And notice this, in the enemy's land, they're rejoicing, they're being vulnerable, and they're feasting. Again, David said, you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. They ate the produce of the land, on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. And notice this, the day they entered the land and the day they began to eat the produce of the land, look at verse 12, then the manna ceased. On the day after they'd eaten the produce of the land and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Once they were established in the land and God says, you know what? You don't need supernatural provision anymore. Now you're going to be able to go and to work the fields and get your own food. God will do the supernatural, but God also expects us to do the very natural when we can. And very briefly, because I want to wrap this up and finish this up, but this is very appropriate in the sense of how God, even on a personal level, dealt with Tracy and I. You know, when we moved here for the first few years, you know, I was working another job. The church couldn't support us yet. And so I'd work a job and supply for the family and this kind of thing. And checks would come in the mail. Checks would just show up in the mail. We'd faithfully, regular checks every month, people sending checks. We didn't ask for money. We weren't soliciting money, but people had known we'd gone out and they sent checks. Get this, I kid you not. The week that Calvary Chapel brought me on staff, the checks stopped. The same week. And this scripture right here always reminds me of that. I gave you supernatural manna until you were able to work the fields for yourself. Now go work the fields. And God has been faithful ever since. I love it. Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. Look at this. Now you see a man in the land with his weapon drawn. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. I love that answer. Are you for us or against us? Neither. No. Just stop. You don't know who you're dealing with. And I'm about to tell you who I am. Because it's not a matter of, this is going to be Jesus Christ himself, incarnate. It's what's called a Christophany or a theophany in scripture, making his appearance before Joshua, letting him know that he's the commander of the Lord's army, and he's going to be the one leading the battles in the land. But I love this because a lot of times people pray, Lord, are you on our side or their side? He says, look, I'm the Lord. It's not me being on anybody's side. You've got to be on my side. So he immediately just says, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I've come. And Joshua, again, Joshua recognized immediately who it was. Notice Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. Now, by the way, we know it wasn't a normal angel because all through scriptures, angels will not allow you to worship them. They make you stand up. Don't fall before me. Get up. I'm a fellow servant. So this is how we know this is the Lord, because he didn't rebuke him. And he says, what does my Lord say to his servant? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Basically, the Lord was revealing himself to Joshua to show him that he was now with him. I've brought you in the land. I'm going to be the one that's going to give you the victory. You're going to trust in me. I'm with you. Be strong and very courageous. And now God's going to take you into brand new places, brand new victories, brand new excitement, brand new land. And he has the same promise for every one of us. Isn't that great? The same God that led them into the promised land is the same God that's here leading us. And I want to encourage you guys, if you're in a season of your life, Lord, what are you doing? I feel very vulnerable. Well, so did the children of Israel when they were all circumcised in the enemy's land. God, I feel like I have no strength. Well, they had no strength either with the enemy surrounding them. Lord, I need a miracle. He stopped up and dried the Jordan up so they could cross over. Lord, I need your direction. Just relax. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. You follow me. I'll lead you into where I want you to go, and I'll give you victory in the midst of it. A lot of great stuff, and I didn't think we'd get through five chapters, and maybe you wish I didn't, but we did it. And Joshua, what a great book. And excited now about how God's going to continue to lead us to the book of Joshua and show us the victories that he had. There's going to be a lot of lessons as we journey through this book. And let's just pray that God takes what he really, again, showed us and let him minister to you in the way he wants to through his word.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. The Israelites' journey to the Promised Land had reached a peak, as it was recorded in the book of Joshua. They were there, but not really. They couldn't quite nail down the possession of the land. Even though this was happening, we still learn of faithful people within this time, such as Rahab, Caleb, and Joshua. What's the takeaway for us today? God keeps his promises. He's with us wherever we go, and he's faithful. Maybe today you feel like this can't possibly apply to you, but we want you to know that it absolutely does. God hasn't left you. Hang tight to that truth and search the scripture for all the promises he's given you. You can also give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. We trust that if you don't enjoy speaking on the phone, you'll visit our website, thewaymedia.net. and search for our questions and comments link to connect with us. Don't worry, it's safe and secure and completely confidential. We'd like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to listen again next time for more great teaching here on Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.